a bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't tell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trade? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to issue 26 of God Hates Comics.
We've made it this far, gentlemen.
We are successful in life.
It's putting it a little far, I think, but we'll take it. Cool stuff this week.
Yeah, very cool stuff, at least for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what have you been up to,
Fuck it, I'm jumping in. I built the helicarrier.
You did?
It's fucking finished.
Hell yes. It
took me almost 8 hours. It's fucking awesome.
I don't know what's more impressive about that, that you finished it or that you timed yourself.
You know what? It was the first time I ever built anything that big, so I really wanted to see how long it actually takes, because I always kind of guess.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is what she said. I wanted to see how long it's going to take. I wish.
That was like the softball across the plate. You can't even be mad at me for that one.
Anyway, and I always kind of guess, it's about an hour, 30 minutes, whatever. But I was like, okay, this is almost 3,000 pieces. I just had to see how long it was going to take to put that motherfucker together. Especially because I knew I wasn't going to do it in one sitting.
Yeah.
Because after, like, there's one part towards the beginning where it's like you have to get the computer room, like the bridge ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all these fucking tiny ass pieces. Like my hand was about to fall off. Like I'm fucking done. Like I can't do this anymore. So yeah, almost 8 hours. The thing, it's huge. It's big, but it's not as big as I thought it would be.
That's what she said.
But it's.
Ah.
Alright, it's still pretty massive. I'm still impressed with it. I don't know how to talk about the size of this thing without just.
And it's phallically shaped too, so you're jokes. Just completely like, yeah. Ruined.
So it's like this long, thick.
Now you're just doing it on purpose.
But anyway, so I got that. If you check out regularbricks.com, I'm gonna have the review coming soon. Probably going to be split up into two. I'm going to do the minifigures, then I'm going to do the ship itself.
Does it really fly?
It doesn't, but I don't have the power functions installed yet, so we'll see. Because you've got... There's a hand crank on the back to turn the propellers, or the whatever the fuck they call them.
Yeah.
Turbines.
But there's a... It's like a little power thing,
mm-hmm.
battery power, that you stick in, and it powers it for you. So, hopefully, shut the fuck up, hopefully, the thing's going to take off. This will be really cool.
That's cool, man.
I also bought some other layers.
God damn, man.
That's so fucking retarded.
Jesus.
A new Iron Man set, a new Thor set, all based on the Avengers Age of Ultron. So I'm stoked. I also read some Spider-Man comics. You know.
Did you? What were they? Spider-Verse or?
Yeah, I pretty much caught up and finished Spider-Verse. The last issue was really lackluster.
I heard that it didn't really stick the landing.
Yeah, because it was kind of like, I mean, you've got this epic multiverse spanning different, you know, all these different characters coming together to fucking fight the big bad. And it's basically the last issue is all the different Spider-Man basically in one room saying, oh shit, we gotta go home. And they go and, you know, someone leaves and it's like, oh, we gotta go because they're closing. Okay, someone leaves. And the one neat thing is that Spidey UK, which is a terrible name, that's his actual superhero name. I think it's Spider UK. Is like, he wants to go home.
Spider-Rook.
Yeah, wants to go home and he opens up the portal to his dimension. He's like, huh, it's not there. It's probably all these incursions that have been happening. Like that's literally, that's pretty much it. He's like,
What a lackluster reaction. Oh, my world's completely gone. Well, that figures.
Yeah, he's just like, I should have been with the Captain Britain Corps and said I was with you guys. Well, I'm gonna go do some other stuff. And then it's like, to see what happens, read Spider-Verse, the tie-in to Secret Wars. I'm like, okay, well, that's great.
Oh, what the fuck?
Anyway,
that's some bullshit.
And Miles Morales is like, this is kind of neat. He's kind of like, oh, Peter, you know, I really wish we had more time to spend together. And Peter's like, oh, I'm sure we'll see each other soon. No worries. And then, like, he takes off. So, I mean, it's kind of funny. Well, kind of
ham-fisted.
Yeah, a little ham-fisted. Also, Doc Ock, the Doc Ock version of Spidey, is still there. And he's just like, you'll rue the day that you ever fucking thought you could be better than me. I'm the superior Spider-Man, blah, blah, blah. And Peter Parker's like, nah, fuck you. Punches him. He's like, I'm the superior Spider-Man. Time punches him, basically, sending him back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, wakes up and all his friends are like, or his friends, the guys, people he works with are like, hey, where'd you go? And he's like, I don't know. Cut scene, goes back to Peter. So, like I said, pretty lackluster.
Alright.
But yeah.
Still as fucked up as the way X-Factor ended.
How did it end again?
Because X-Factor just kind of got unceremoniously canceled and Peter David's pretty pissed about it.
Yeah.
So he's like, alright, you want to cancel my shit? So Spider-Man 2099 shows up, and then fucking Maestro shows up. Like, from fucking Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy shows up, and it's like, he ends up being, like, one of the bad guys behind the scenes, and you're just like, it's like a last page, like, spoiler thing, and you're like, series is over. No more.
Huh. Is it continued in his Maestro, like, 2099 series?
Is he doing
no.
it?
No.
Yeah.
He's
doing the 2099 book, Avengers, and he's doing Future Imperfect.
I'm sure he's going to continue the Spider-Man stuff that he was doing, that he teased in
X-Factor.
In X-Factor, but
I there's Maestro stuff in Secret Wars, too.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't there Future Imperfect?
I don't think so.
I saw a teaser for it.
Alright.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's find out.
Perfect. I just don't know if it has Maestro.
Anyway,
I don't know if Peter David's
doing it.
You know,
been awesome if multiple men, right?
Yes.
If he just woke up and he was like, it's all a dream. Like, that's it.
It's apparently not official yet, the Future Imperfect.
So they haven't announced it, but they did tease it.
It's been teased.
Yeah, where it's just like, what is it, that show Newhart from, like, the 70s, where he wakes up and it was, like, the end?
Yeah.
It was, like, all the cast from the original show he was on was just kind of like, oh, hey, you were...
Oh, yeah, like, no, it was he had Newhart, and then there was the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the Bob Newhart show, he wakes up, and it turns out that the Bob Newhart show was a dream that his character from Newhart had, and they brought back his wife from Newhart to play his wife at the end of the Bob Newhart show, or something like that. He had two shows, and so at the end of the second one, they revealed it was just a dream from his character in the first one. It's kind of like St. Elsewhere. Did you ever see St. Elsewhere?
Isn't that where
just pans out? And it's a snow globe, and it's like an autistic kid. Yeah,
it's so weird.
Yeah,
autism's weird.
Making fun of mental conditions is funny.
No, I'm just saying that it's weird that it can affect people in different ways. Like, it's not like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's one of those things.
But there's one thing we can all agree on when it comes to autism. Vaccines don't fucking cause it.
Absolutely they don't. Jesus Christ.
But mercury and things and
fuck
stuff.
Fuck you! Mercury's a shitty planet! Get out of here!
Did you hear there are some countries, I think India or some... There's some country that's like saying, hey man, if you don't get your kids vaccinated, we're gonna put your ass in jail. Like, fuck it. Like,
it's literally to the point where not vaccinating your kids could almost be considered criminal or medical negligence.
Yes.
Because by not doing it, you're putting your kid at such a risk that it's literally almost life threatening.
Yeah.
Literally. It is literally blowing my mind. Switching to Rob Lowe there for a second. So, Dusty, what have you been doing?
I purchased my tickets, my airfare and my hotel, and got a rental car for Emerald City Comic Con today. So, I'm excited. I already have sketches lined up, and it's going to be a fucking blast.
So, who did you decide on?
Riley Rossmo, for certain.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back from Patrick Gleason.
Alright.
The fucking list is too goddamn much, man. I mean, Wes Craig's going to be there. Mateo Scalera's going to be there.
That's awesome.
Scotty Young's going to be there. Dennis Wynn's going to be there. Jeff Lemire.
Dustin Wynn.
Dustin.
Yeah,
you
say
that. I was like, who the fuck is Dennis
Wynn?
Dennis
Wynn. This guy I knew in high school.
Dustin Wynn's going to be there, yes. So, I mean, it's got this fucking killer fucking guest list, you know.
It's awesome.
And there's just no way in hell I'd be able to get everything.
I'm going to give you a request for Dustin Wynn. Not Batman.
Yeah.
Don't draw Batman.
Draw anything but Batman.
You know what? A Ninja Turtle.
Draw me a Ninja Turtle suplexing another Ninja Turtle.
But no, so, I already have a couple of cool ones lined up.
So. That's awesome. It is unfortunate we can't join you, but it's too soon and I'm moving, so I can't swing it.
Yeah, you told us like a week ago. It's like, oh, hey, let's go to the Emerald City Comic Con. It's just like, well, okay.
I'm fucking grand to drop. I mean,
you know, things happen.
I'm actually genuinely kind of thinking about Baltimore simply for Stan Sakai and the insane guest list they already have, and the convention itself isn't until September.
Yeah.
So,
I might be missing that too.
Yeah, that's like
I would think about Baltimore, and then if Layman and Guillory are both going to be at Alamo City, I might consider Alamo City. So go up there for like the day or something. Yeah. Just drive up in the morning, spend a few hours at the convention, and then drive back out.
Well, I mean, I'll be meeting him this weekend. Well, next
Layman?
Yeah, Layman.
I just really want one of those fucking Chew posters. Wait, from San Diego.
Are you meeting?
He's in Emerald City.
Oh, okay.
That weekend.
Yeah.
And Joe already, people already want to introduce me to him. So.
He does those fucking Chew posters at San Diego every year, and I'm just annoyed that I can't get one because, like, the place in town that will get you San Diego stuff, they charge you 100%.
Damn.
And so, 100% the cost.
Yeah.
Because they have to get it, and then, in some cases, they have to ship it back. Like, it's straight up, like... So, they have the Chew foil variants they do every year, solely at San Diego, so I'll get those, because Layman only charges $10, and then, you know, $20 out of my pocket, that's no big deal, I don't care. But those posters are $40.
Yeah.
And so, saying, oh, 80, that's a little bit more than I'd like to do.
Well, it's actually a real pain in the ass to get those San Diego exclusives, because normally they give tickets and you have to wait in line.
Well, these are just things that Layman and Guillory sell at their tables.
Oh, okay.
It's not any kind of raffle system or anything like that.
Gotcha.
And so when it's comics and stuff like that, they'll almost always tell me, I'm like, oh yeah, sure, that's no problem. I really wanted last year's, though. Last year's Guillory drew the entire cast of Chew as Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
And I was like, I wanted that poster so fucking bad, and like, I scoured eBay for it in the weeks after San Diego, and I didn't fucking see one. And you know, props to Chew fans for buying them and keeping them. I mean, it's nice to see that somebody didn't buy it and was like, fucking eBay for $200, but it was,
disappointing that you were
this year I may crack and tell them to get the Chew poster. I thought Jesse was there last year, but she ended up not going. Yeah. I was going to see if she could get me one. So if I know anybody going this year, I might try to get them to do it.
You know who also get to meet?
Who?
Ryan Stegman.
Nice.
That's going to be cool. That's
cool. Dusty's going to meet a lot of people, and he's going to get them all on the show.
This is actually going
to
happen.
Awesome. So as for me now, what have I been up to? I attempted to read a whole bunch of comics and then realized I was missing basically one comic from each of those runs. It turned out that my last DCBS box wasn't going to ship until everything had come out, but since it has a bunch of trades, some of those don't come out until like the middle of April.
Yeah.
And so like Batman 38 was in there when 39 was already out, and Sex Criminals 10 was in there, Southern Bastards 7 was in there, I mean Superman 38, and so a whole bunch of comics where I was like, shit. I was like, damn, I wanted to get these, but I have to wait until... So, I had thankfully got some credit and had them send me the box, and now I can sit down and actually read those things, because I really want to. Batman, I've heard Endgame's been pretty fucking ridiculous.
Pretty fucking ridiculous would be an apt description.
Well, I'm going to get back on that. I've been watching... I watched some wrestling this weekend. We watched the Ring of Honor, which is kind of the... I don't really know how to describe them, but they're a smaller promotion in America for wrestling. It was alright. It was a little annoying. Samoa Joe came back. He's a cool wrestler. He's just a big, badass Samoan dude who just wrecks shit.
Yeah, I'm actually really sad now because Francesco Francavilla had to cancel.
We've met him twice, man.
I know, that's why it would've been cool, because I'm like, hey.
He's three times.
Maybe he'll be at MondoCon 2, which is apparently ramping up. The guy on the Mondo Twitter was talking all about it today.
Nice.
Asking people, he was like, people were asking like who they want to go, and like he was retweeting all of them, and I have the Mondo notifications on my phone in case there's a poster I really want.
Yeah.
So I got on my boxing class and I had like 30 Twitter notifications from Mondo's Twitter feed. I was like, motherfuckers, stop recommending artists, it's blowing up my phone. Speaking of boxing, I've actually been doing pretty well at that too. I know you guys probably don't care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. That was to our audience. I was, but no, last week I was member of the week. They actually picked me to be like the member of the week. And then this past week on Mondays they do something called Mythology Monday, which is where you kind of get taken away from the main class, because normally it's literally like 50 punching bags, and like then there's an instructor in the middle, and you all just kind of follow around, and the instructor walks around, kind of pulls you out to do some solo stuff, but you're working within a class, and so with Mythology Mondays, they pull you out of the class, and you work one-on-one with a trainer in kind of their small little boxing ring they have in the corner, and so I did that, and I got to do that, and it was an insane, just, I was completely, in wrestling, the term is gassed, but basically by the end of, like, the third of eight rounds, I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna die! And so, it's been cool, because the club, like I said, the place has been actually, like, they're investing in the people in the classes, so it's kind of cool to see that. And so
that's awesome.
They're doing a 2-hour class this Saturday for all of the members, and I'm gonna see if I can do it and not die, but I'm not hopeful that I won't die. So if this is the last you guys hear of me, it's been a good run. But
well, next week God Hates Comics,
it was kind of nice knowing you.
Yeah,
Dusty Kyber Comics,
God Hates Comics with Dustin. Good luck finding somewhere to record it, jackasses.
Wait, this place won't still be available?
No.
Sure? Shit.
You ain't renting out studio space here, man. This ain't Abbey Road. But, so I'm going to go with the boxing and watch some wrestling. What else did I do? I watched American Horror Story, actually. It's completely unrelated to comics, but I watched the whole season one of American Horror Story this past weekend.
How was it?
I didn't like the ending, really. Okay. Do you guys care if I spoil it?
Really,
it's like 3 years old at this point. If you haven't watched it, it's on Netflix. And
skip ahead a minute, if you
yeah, try. Like skip ahead 2-3 minutes. But basically, the season one was just called American Horror Story, and then when they decided to make it like an anthology series and just change it every year, they retroactively called it American Horror Story Murder House. Basically, this is a house where everyone that's in it fucking dies, and it's mostly because angry, vengeful spirits that used to live in the house and also died there are stuck there, and they basically drag you down into their hellhole, and either cause you to what appears to be kill yourself, but in reality you are usually getting killed by them. So they people over, you know, 100 years have lived in this house, and almost all of them have died. And so this family moves in because it's a steel house, because nobody wants to buy it, because it's a murder house. And people die in it, so nobody wants to buy it. So the price is super low. So Dylan McDermott plays this guy who was having an affair with his wife, and he moves his whole family here to kind of try to give them the fresh start. And almost immediately, weird shit starts happening. And just throughout the course of the series, you meet all the people that used to live in the house, you meet all the people that are connected to the house, and at the end of the show, everybody dies. The entire family in the house, they all die. Basically, what turns out is that The issue I have with it, and I'm skipping a whole bunch of shit there, but at the end of the series, you don't find out why the house does this.
It just does.
Yeah, like, the house was built by this doctor to the stars in the 1920s, back when that was a thing. And him and his wife had a baby that died somehow. I forget how. But he kind of Frankenstein monsters this thing back to life, and the wife is like, holy shit. And so the wife ends up The wife kills the husband and then shoots herself. And the baby, seemingly, has been rumored to still run rampant in the house. And so it's this, and you meet a whole bunch of other people that are like dead, but they don't realize it. And then they do pull kind of a sixth sense with one of the characters, when the character didn't realize they were dead. But the whole kind of thing, and it's annoying because the whole family dies. Like, you're kind of expecting them to have some kind of, oh, well, one of them at least finally gets out, but no, the ghosts kill all of them. And then, it's like, babies get involved, like, the house wants babies or something, like, it wants a child or something, so that it can usher in the apocalypse or something, and, like this whole idea, like, one of the ghosts impregnates a living person, and basically, the vision, the rumor, the lore basically says that if that happens, it will be the Antichrist, and that's kind of the cliffhanger of the series they never act on, is when that 3-year-old child is basically killing motherfuckers. And but it's really confusing because the end of the show, just there's, you never find out why the house does it, and that's my big kind of complaint with it.
I have to say something.
Yeah,
you're really not selling the show to me.
I'm really not, like, because I'm watching season 2 now, and it's actually off to a much better start.
Yeah,
But the thing is that you get to the end of the show, and what you want is resolution. And you don't really get any of that, because, well, the family is all dead together, so they all get to stay in the house together because they're all the family now. And that's kind of your feel-good moment at the end, is that the family's all together, even though they're dead. And the family kind of resolves themselves to make sure nobody stays in the house, that nobody falls victim to what happened to them, which is a nice idea, but I still don't know why the house is fucking the way it is. And that was actually the answer I wanted. I was like, why is this house this way? Because
I think it's in the title of the show. It's a murder house.
But it's never explained why it's a murder house. Like, it's the murder... Like, and I guess the whole point of the show is, like, this is just how the house is. It is what it is. But for me, all being all about mysteries and shit, I like having the answers, and
it's like a murder car or a murder gun.
A murder gun? Really?
Yeah.
Murder I think gun. All guns are murder guns. So.
No, it's the guns that are used to murder. Those are murder guns. It's just like a house that's used to murder. Murder house.
But it's not used to murder as much as just people died in it, and then the people that die in it stay dead in it and killed other people. Like, there's no real rhyme or reason as to why it became a thing. And
like, the vibe I'm getting is like Sixth Sense meets Final Destination.
In a way, kind of. But the thing is like, the build to the end is all really good, but then the ending episode just kind of took a... the end of the show just kind of... Well, the end of the first season just kind of took a... I think it took a... And it actually shows, because it was supposed to be 13 episodes. And then the 13th episode got cut. And they just extended the 12th episode like 10 minutes. So I think that showed. I think there was supposed to be more. But the second season is a completely different thing, featuring a lot of the same actors. And so far it's off to a much better start. But okay. Otherwise... Yeah, I've been talking about American Horror Story long fucking enough.
Way to go, Dusty. Alright, so remember, guys, you can email us at godhatescomics@gmail.com, or you can
get us on Twitter at godhatescomics,
or Facebook at
facebook.com/godhatescomics.
And if you want to tell Andrew how awesome American Horror Story is, probably. If not...
If you're telling me season one ends well, you're lying. Because it doesn't. It may be a good ride, but the ending botches it.
Andrew, to listeners, come at me, bro.
Basically.
All right, so let's start with some TV news.
Some cool shit.
So an Arrow Flash spinoff is in the works, and it's described as a superhero team-up. It's going to feature several recurring characters from the DC CW world, including Ray Palmer, Brandon Routh, Dr. Martin Stein, who's played by Victor Garber, Captain Cold, played by Wentworth Miller, and the former Canary, Sarah Lance, who's played by Katie Lotz, which is interesting because...
She's dead.
No title has been announced yet, but the plan is to have the show ready by next season. And they're also saying other characters from Arrow and Flash could show up, and it will include at least three major comic characters that have never appeared in a TV series before. So that's kind of cool.
That rules out Booster Gold.
Rules out Superman.
Yeah.
Doesn't rule out Green Lantern.
Does not rule out Green Lantern.
Does not. That'd be fucking cool.
Green Lantern, Captain Atom.
Basically, a lot of fucking superheroes.
There's a lot of people that have never been in a show. TV. And I assume, I would assume that probably the most high profile they'd go is Green Lantern.
And I'm also going to assume that they're not talking about animated shows. Because that would rule out a show.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody gets ruled out. So yeah. I actually... Green Lantern, I think, would actually be a possibility. I'd be a little wary of Green Lantern because of the effects you'd need to do that, especially in a team setting.
Well, I mean, if they can do Flash, I think they can do Green Lantern.
They can do Firestorm.
Yeah, if they can do Firestorm, they can do Green Lantern.
Firestorm is basically going to be in this show. Yeah. So.
Well, actually, that's an interesting point.
They got Martin Stein, but they're not saying Ronnie Raymond or even Jason Rush. So
what's his name? Ronnie Amell, right? That's the guy.
Robbie Amell.
Yeah. Yes. So some people are just thinking that might be an oversight.
Yeah.
I'd
say Green Lantern. I'd say Green Lantern's possibility. I actually wouldn't be too upset with Captain Atom. I think with all the military stuff they've been doing, to have a military experiment gone wrong and result in Captain Atom isn't out of the question. And all that. So it'll be interesting. Right. And I'm glad to see Brandon Routh getting some work.
The question.
Possibility.
Yeah. Alright, so the cast of Supergirl continues to grow. We've got David Harewood from Homeland, who's been cast as Hank Henshaw, who will be the head of the Department of Extra-Normal Affairs, which tracks extraterrestrial threats to Earth.
And Hank Henshaw also very famously is known as the Cyborg Superman.
Yep, you've got, I believe this is Shyler Lee from Grey's Anatomy. She's cast as Alex Danvers, who's Kara's foster sister, whose fascination with science and Kara's powers leads her to becoming a doctor. Dean Cain and Helen Slater have been announced as guest stars for the pilot episode.
Everyone's like saying this is all shrouded in mystery, and I'm just kind of like, they're her parents.
Yeah,
like,
we're thinking it's her parents.
Like, who the fuck else would they be?
Yeah.
Dean Cain's going to be Superman, guys. No, he's fucking not. No. Like,
and then we've got Jeremy Jordan is going to guest star in the pilot with the hopes of it becoming a recurring role as Win Shot. Who's a tech genius and otherwise known as Toy Man.
Well, I think I read that like he's going to start off as almost like a sidekick, and then like,
or that's what you heard.
I was going to say I read that he was going to be like more of like the tech support for Supergirl, and then kind of I guess like the Riddler on Gotham. Like he's not a bad guy right now, but like they see that he could.
Well, the thing is, they don't have to pull from the classic I'm a villain Toy Man. I mean, because...
Oh, yeah, there's other versions of Toy Man that aren't...
Where he's a kid. He's a young kid that kind of helps them out.
Yeah.
So it could be kind of those versions rolled together.
Mm-hmm.
So I put this in here because I fucking love the show. Star Wars Rebels. Sarah Michelle Gellar is joining the cast in a recurring role for season 2.
Nerd!
Don't know who she is. Don't care. She's awesome.
That's cool.
Also, I watched the season finale of that show. The show is badass. Like, that show was really fucking good.
That's between 3 and 4, right?
Yeah, it takes place 5 years before A New Hope. So it's kind of... You're kind of seeing the start of the Rebel Alliance, which is really cool. And there's a... I'm not going to say anything, but if you're a fan of the Clone Wars show, there's a payoff from that series in this episode.
So Clone Wars is seemingly still canon, according to this.
From what I believe they said, it's the prequel movies... The original trilogy, of course, and the Clone Wars TV show. That's what's canon. Plus the Star Wars Rebels show, of course. So
I've never seen Clone Wars all the way through. I might have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, neither have I, but I've heard it gets really good at the end. But
better than the movies that precede it and follow it.
I would say so. Did you guys ever watch the animated shorts, the Clone Wars? The stuff done by...
Jenny Tartakovsky.
That shit was amazing. Yeah.
He still did the actual show, but like that's what it was originally based off of, and that's what they based his the whole looks and everything that was based off of his artwork. Yeah.
All right. So moving on, we've got Welsh actor Tom Ellis from EastEnders, who's been cast as Lucifer. Mike Coulter, the star of Luke Cage, has said the show is geared towards a more adult audience and is something different than what we've seen in the MCU.
This doesn't surprise me too much because I think Daredevil's got a TVMA rating, or at least the first episode does.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, they finally showed Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin.
Looks fucking awesome.
Yeah,
he looks like a fucking badass. Yeah. Like, he looks like somebody that'll crush the shit out of
him. He said that one of his main influences for that role is... Bill Sienkiewicz's version of Kingpin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what David Mack says.
Yeah.
All right. And what I think is the biggest piece of TV news this week is that Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick have signed a 2-year deal with Universal Television to bring their creator-owned comics to TV. Their first adaptation is going to be Sex Criminals. And it's also being reported that they're going to use their production company, which is Milk-Fed Criminal Masterminds, to adapt the work of other comic creators as well. So we're guessing anyone, I don't know who, but it could be anyone. It's pretty awesome. It's also unclear if and how this is going to affect their work with Image or Marvel.
Well, Fraction's done with Marvel, isn't he?
Well, I mean, he still does stuff for Image.
Well,
it's his own stuff.
I think whenever Hawkeye 22 comes out, whenever it does.
Which, is that him? Do we know if that's him slowing it down? Or
I have no idea.
Aja?
Aja, whatever. Yeah. Aja, that's an album that's too damn.
Because, it definitely seems like his relationship with Marvel went to shit. if he's just taking his sweet ass time to put this book
in. It might be Aja. Aja is not a monthly artist.
That's true, whatever but it is. It's been a while. I mean, it's been a while.
It's been a long time, I admit. So, but
it's supposed to be, like, really oversized, though.
Yeah.
Either way, like it's still kind of annoying though that you know
One didn't come out until after.
But like 20 came out months ago, and then they couldn't get 21 and 22 ready before the new one came out.
Yeah,
it's kind of annoying.
Well, I mean, it could also be, like we said, it could be on Aja's side, and it could be personal stuff. I mean, we really don't.
Who knows? But it's Fraction. I think once Hawkeye's done, I think he's out of Marvel, and I think he and Kelly Sue is just Captain Marvel.
She's doing Captain Marvel.
Avengers Assemble is done, isn't it?
Yeah, Avengers Assemble is done. I don't think she's doing anything with Secret Wars.
I don't know.
No, I don't know about that.
She might have been kind of pissed about the whole exclusive not getting to go to the retreats bullshit. So she might have decided.
Could have also been her choice.
Yeah, it could have been her choice, knowing damn well she'd rather stick to doing Bitch Planet and things like that. You know?
Who knows?
But anyway, I mean,
Got a good amount of independent books over there. He's got Odyssey.
He's got Casanova, Sex Criminals, Satellite Sam. If you want to draw from his older stuff, you've got.
Those are the current ones, right?
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Current ones. You've got. I mean, he can adapt Five Fists of Science, which I think would be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I'm just like his work in addition to this, like the stuff he's still actively doing.
Yeah.
And Satellite Sam is ending, I think, and. Casanova's just miniseries.
Yeah.
So, really, the only two ongoing books he does is Sex Criminals and Odyssey.
And even then, Sex Criminals kind of comes out when it wants.
Yeah, like, and I think that, honestly, though, I want to say most of that is probably Zdarsky, since he does basically the entire art process himself.
Yeah. And Odyssey, considering, I mean, I forget the artist's name.
Christian Ward.
Considering him, like, it
might I remember Infinite Vacation, so.
Yeah, like, what was it between 5 and 6? Was like
between 4 and 5. There were only 5 issues. 4 and 5 is like a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
More than that. Actually, I want to check now. Vince, talk.
All right, so just moving on. We've got, apparently there was a Red Sonja movie in the works, because they've hired a new screenwriter in Christopher Cosmos. Don't know who this guy is, but hey, Red Sonja, that's cool.
That'd be cool.
What's his name?
Who?
Christopher Cosmos.
No idea.
Like Cosmos Kramer. More movie news. James Gunn has teased that he will be introducing his favorite superhero in Guardians 2. And when everyone starts, saying who it might be, he said, why does everyone think, like, why are you all assuming it's a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, some people are thinking Moondragon. Another popular choice is, Quasar.
That'd be fucking cool.
Which would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, some people were thinking it was going to be Carol Danvers, but since she's going to be in her own movie.
Might be a seed for that, though, like, she shows up. Anyway, Infinite Vacation 3 came out November 2nd, 2011. Infinite Vacation 4 came out March 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
So that's 4 months later. And then Infinite Vacation 5 came out January 2013. So that's 10 months between 4 and 5.
That's not even as long as I thought it was, honestly. Because, shit, I...
felt like it was longer. Oh, shit, though. 2 came out April 13th, 2011. And 3 came out in November of 2011. So, this whole series, an on-time schedule was never part of what
Well, I'm going to go with that's a combination of Nick Spencer's work. He's been pretty consistent with Morning Glories.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that delay is not
so
Nick Spencer.
Yeah, that's definitely...
And at that time, I don't think he was doing much else besides Morning Glories.
Yeah, I was thinking that might have been on the... where he started to ramp up his Marvel work. It might have been.
And then his Marvel work subsequently ramped back down.
Yeah.
Now he's up, what, 2?
He
does Ant-Man. I know that.
Yeah.
Ant-Man's awesome. Like, I read the second issue over.
No, he's not doing Avengers World anymore.
No. I think Frank Barbieri is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I dropped Avengers World once he got off the book.
Oh, really? I like Barbieri. Lots of cool stuff.
He does Five Ghosts.
Yeah.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. It's in my fridge. Go get it.
And Chris Mooneyham will both be there.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I try to follow, for the most part, I try to follow creators more than. Plus, I just saw that, hey, I could save $4 a month. Okay. I know you're not all into that life, but I am.
All the comics.
comics.
I'm just waiting for the sales, like this Joker sale in Comixology.
Yep.
Now I have Death in the Family and Emperor Joker. Don't need to buy the trades.
Fuck yes. Alright, according to Latino
All
Review...
for $14.
Shit, yeah. Drew Goddard has been tapped to write and direct the Spider-Man reboot. Now, we're not sure...
Yeah, this is very
this is
unverified
rumored.
Because
yeah.
It came out yesterday that it was... Latino Review, I think, was the one that said it was the done deal. That it was happening, it's what was going on. And then Comic Book CBR, I think, Comic Book Resources, I think they reached out to a rep for Goddard who said, no, it's not true. But then other people started reporting that Goddard had a meeting with them for today. Like, I think it would be today or tomorrow. Basically, Goddard was going to meet with Sony and Marvel about this.
Yeah.
And so there's been some rumored stuff. I'm going to take this one, Vince.
Sure.
Basically, there's been a lot of rumored stuff, and basically they're saying that the film is envisioned as the first part of a trilogy that will come out over consecutive summers, and that the series might very well be called The Spectacular Spider-Man. Because...
Which, I just got to interject. I'm really upset that they didn't just take, alright, you know, Amazing Spider-Man, number one, Spectacular Spider-Man, Sensational Spider-Man. Fuck, give me a Peter Parker Spider-Man movie. It's just, you've got so many different titles that you can draw from, apart from just calling it Amazing Spider-Man 2.
But yet, if you go from, like, The Amazing Spider-Man and then call it The Spectacular Spider-Man, it's a marketing thing.
Yeah, I guess.
So the series might be called The Spectacular Spider-Man. This would result in a phasing out of essentially all other Spider-Man films that were in production, including the Ant-Man and Sinister Six films. And the few things expected were that there won't be an origin story, the new actor will be based in high school, the first film will include the Sinister Six. I've also heard that it simply features the Sinister Six being formed.
Mm-hmm.
And then a major part of the first film will involve Spider-Man fighting Iron Man and then trying to pass the audition to join the Avengers.
Which, I have a feeling this is going to pull from the issue where he fought... this is the first issue of Amazing Spider-Man where he broke into the Fantastic Four's building and tried to join the team, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So it might be a little bit of that.
Yeah, it might. And so it sounds like Sony's trying not to completely throw out Drew Goddard's Sinister Six plans, and I think this is a way to kind of appease him for that. You know, kind of, you get to keep most of what you were working on, but now you get to helm the actual Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as far as he's a Whedon guy, he's Cabin in the Woods was an amazing film, and he was originally going to do the Daredevil show, and then got pulled away for Sinister Six, and so this is kind of, I think, not only the best outcome for him personally, if he wants to keep working on that stuff, it's also for the fans, because I think he's got a great voice and could do a great job on making this movie. So,
you know, I'm really hoping this results in Spider-Man wearing an Iron Man costume with a paper bag over his head. That would be awesome.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
So the next three bits of news
are comic books.
It's comic book news, but they're also... Should we do the spoilers first or after?
Whatever.
Okay. Fuck it. Spoiler warning, so this is going to be spoilers for Uncanny Avengers 2, Secret Origins number 10 from DC Comics, and Catwoman number 39. Skip ahead maybe 5 minutes if you're not interested in having shit spoiled for you. So in Uncanny Avengers number 2, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver's true origin was revealed. Turns out they're not mutants, as we found out in Axis, and they were created by the High Evolutionary.
So they're mutants.
I guess.
In the technical sense.
Well, they're mutants, but not X-Gene mutants, I guess.
I guess.
But
that sense, Magneto isn't either, because High Evolutionary is the one who gave him his powers back.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Watch it, Marvel! Fucking have it!
No.
You can't have your cake
and eat
it, too.
Here's your fucking no prize. Guess what? It's nothing.
Alright, so...
Third place is you're fired.
Who's fired? Marvel?
I don't know.
Marvel, you're fired!
Bring me pictures of Spider-Man!
Alright, so this separates Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver from their Fox movie counterparts, where they are mutants in the traditional X-Gene... Mutants in the traditional sense, that they have the X-Gene. And
as generally
X-Gene.
Is the case with mutants. It is genetic.
Generally.
Like this hair.
Yep. And their MCU counterparts, which was... their origin was revealed in a prequel comic to Age of Ultron, that their powers were unlocked... by Loki's staff.
Loki's staff, which is one of the gems.
Yeah, I still feel that's...
Unlocked means there was something there.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Inhumans.
Yeah.
Anyway, So, there you go. Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, High Evolutionary.
And there it is.
Apparently there are two Batgirls running around the DCU right now. The Flesh and Blood Barbara, and a digitized version that believes she is the true Batgirl and is determined to stop the imposter at all costs. In Secret Origins number 10, Barbara Gordon had her mind scanned to help her body interact with the neural chip implanted in her spine, allowing her to walk. Now, the scanned version gained sentience and has all her memories up until the start of the New 52. So, that's why the digitized version believes she's the true Batgirl.
Yeah.
Also, it, you know, there's a rumor, a lot of people are speculating, that this might be DC Comics' way of introducing Oracle back into the comics universe.
Basically, there's an AI version of Barbara out there that acts as Oracle while Barbara still gets to run around as Batgirl.
So, that's pretty neat.
Even though the current Barbara is basically Stephanie Brown.
Yeah. And DC Comics shocked the world last week by not issuing a press release announcing Selina Kyle's sexuality.
Yeah.
Writer Genevieve Valentine confirmed that Selina is indeed a bisexual in Catwoman number 39 because she kissed the current Catwoman. She kissed the current Catwoman and apparently she liked
this
it.
This is not news.
So?
Well, yeah, for me that was the thing. Like, everybody's taking this headline and running with it and I was just like, didn't we know this already? Like, yeah.
She issued a statement or whatever and said that she's basically been seeding it, kind of saying that, yeah, she's bisexual.
It's been seeded for like 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's confirmed now.
Well, yeah. it was weird because, like, well, you know, and it's funny because people made that joke that you made that DC didn't issue a press release about it. But DC, typically speaking, doesn't really issue press releases about that type of stuff.
Didn't like, they with Batwoman?
Batwoman maybe, but I think Batwoman was introduced first. And then there might have been a big deal made when it was revealed she was gay.
Yeah.
But then, like, when Alan Scott on Earth 2 was gay, there was no press release for that. Yeah. It just got picked up when people found out that he was.
Yeah.
And so, DC's not nearly as bad as Marvel is about the press release bullshit.
Well, I mean...
So, I just have to, like, pause and point this out. Since Leonard Nimoy has died, apparently people in Canada have been spawking their $5 bills, and oh my god, it's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah.
They just turn the guy that's on the bill into Spock, and it's awesome.
The Canadian government actually issued
something. It's not encouraged, but it's not illegal.
Yeah, exactly. Please don't do it. Like, don't do it.
It's not illegal, but come on, guys.
Yeah.
Because it's Canada, and they're really nice. So they have
they're like, guys, please stop doing it. Sorry.
Yes.
Please
stop doing it. Sorry. Please. It's not illegal. For you didn't. Sorry.
Please stop. All right, so now we've got even more comics spinning out of Secret Wars. I mean, we're up to 20 plus. I don't even know how much we're at, but there's a lot.
There's like 59 Secret Wars books.
Yeah. So the first one is Star-Lord.
The new 69.
The new 69, huh? we've got Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde. That's written by Sam Humphries and art by Alti Firmancia.
Firmancia.
Anyway. Coming out in June 2015, it's going to be under the Battleworld imprint, and it's going to focus on the Peter and Kitty romance, with the twist being that Kitty is from the Age of Apocalypse universe. Despite this, the book will be a direct continuation of Humphrey's work on the legendary Star-Lord. He also hinted that the outcome of Black Vortex will play into this new series. So there you go, if you're a fan of that book. Go ahead and pick this one up, because the legendary Star-Lord is also taking a hiatus during Secret Wars. Next up, we've got Marvel Zombies, written by Cy Spurrier. And
so this is different from the Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies.
Yes, it is. So, written by Cy Spurrier, art by Kev Walker. This is coming out in June 2015, also under Battleworld. And this takes place on the Shield, which is a barrier keeping the Marvel Zombies and other horrors contained to Battleworld's Southern Hemisphere. The series protagonist will be Elsa Bloodstone, as she's tasked by defending a mysterious companion and deals with her troubled family legacy. So,
okay.
If you're into zombies, I guess this and Age of Ultron vs. Zombies are books to pick up. We've got The Runaways coming back to comics, written by Noel Stevenson and art by Sanford Green, also coming out in June 2015, also under Battleworld. This stars a team that's going to be different from previous incarnations of the Runaways. It features teen versions of Cloak and Dagger, Bucky, Scar, and a new character named Sana, and possibly a teenage version of Valeria Richards, although this is all speculation based on the cover of the first issue. It just looks like Valeria. They didn't say who it was. I mean, I guess the only problem I have with this book is that...
It's not the Runaways.
Well, not only is it not the Runaways, but Bucky's a teenager now. You know, which...
In that particular one.
True. I mean, yeah, but...
I'll run with
the
next
couple. I guess you could have another Bucky running around.
I'm sure. Who knows? Right, isn't this just a Secret Wars thing? Or is it going to keep going?
What?
The Runaways?
Just
a Battle World
book. It's probably going to start off as a Battle World, but it could continue.
Yeah, but Bucky is Bucky. If it's a Team Bucky, it's a different Bucky.
Yeah.
So next up is Korvac Saga by Dan Abnett and Otto Schmidt. This is June 15 under the War Zones banner. Naturally, Korvac Saga is a very defining Avengers storyline from way back in the day. I think Roy Thomas did it. Was it Roy Thomas?
I believe it was.
I think so. He did all the good Avengers stuff after Stanley left. But it's going to focus on Korvac, who leads a battle world domain known as Forest Hills, with the Guardians serving as his personal bodyguards and defenders of the realm. Opposing them will be Wonder Man, who leads his own domain, Hollywood, and his team of Avengers, consisting of Captain Marvel, Jocasta, Black Panther, Hercules, Vision, Moondragon, Yellowjacket, and Black Widow. I assume this is probably going to be picking off maybe of some of Dan Abnett's Guardians 3000 plot threads.
Probably.
I would assume. Possibly even replacing that book. Next up is Extinction Agenda by Mark Guggenheim and Carmen de Giandomenico.
Giandomenico.
This is also June 2015 and also under the War Zones banner. This is going to be an alternate history that arose from the events of the original Extinction Agenda crossover. Was that a Claremont Extinction Agenda?
Yeah, it was.
I'm
actually really looking forward to this one. This one's really cool.
And Guggenheim, I want to say, was running X-Men before it was canceled.
I think so.
So I think this is him just kind of continuing that. And then we've got Weird World by Jason Aaron and Mike Del Mundo. Was Mike Del Mundo the guy on Electra Dusty?
Yes.
Okay. I thought he was.
So this art is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. This is June 15 under, again, the War Zones banner, and this is going to pay homage to various 70s-era sword and sorcery comics. Stars Archon, barbarian and former enemy of the Fantastic Four and Avengers, as he navigates this chaotic battle world domain and battles all manner of man and beasts. Needless to say, Secret Wars is not going anywhere, instead, you will be reading it for the rest of your life. Because these books just keep on fucking coming.
Well, here's the thing, man. It's not all of these books are appealing to me, which I actually think makes it a lot easier for me to just say, okay, hey, I'm going to pick up three or four of these titles. Like, of the six we just named, the only one that's really calling me my attention is Weird World. Just because that basically sounds like Jason Aaron's writing Conan the Barbarian in the Marvel Universe. You know, which seems pretty fucking rad.
Yeah, I could check out Weird World and the Extinction Agenda one. To me, sounds really cool.
Yeah, I mean,
but you have to keep in mind, I'm a huge fan of Havoc. So
yeah, and it's also gonna be starring Havoc and Wolfsbane.
Yeah.
And basically, what the storyline of Extinction Agenda is that they remain on Genosha, and it's gonna take place 10 years
right?
later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like I pretty much missed out on early 90s X-Men, so like Extinction Agenda and the one based on the Hellfire fight? No, not the Hellfire. The one with Colossus and Magic.
Inferno.
Yeah, like those books aren't really calling out to me. Okay. You know, they're just not in my wheelhouse.
Well, the X-Men started to get really bad in the mid 90s. Claremont leaves in 91.
That stuff is actually in the 80s.
Yeah, okay. Like Extinction Agenda and Mutant Massacre.
That's why I like it so much, because that's what was coming out whenever I got into comics.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know?
The 90s, the one 80s, shining example of the 90s X-Men is probably...
Well, that's cool.
The one shining example in the 90s X-Men is probably still Age of Apocalypse, as the only decent one of it.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, you know, God, The Crossing, and, you know, all that various shit, The 12, and all that was just stupid. The only good thing to come from The 12 was Morrison's new X-Men.
Yeah, I think I got out of the comics, or I stopped reading them regularly right around the time of The 12. Like, I remember hearing about it because I was still, like, a avid reader of Wizard, the Wizard magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded cool, but it wasn't, so...
It very rarely is as cool as it sounds.
Sad.
Either way, like, Secret Wars just being real, there's, God, a lot of fucking shit coming. I mean, just looking at this quick list, I'm going to read it real fast. We've got Secret Wars Ultimate End, Secret Wars Adaland Rising, Inhuman, Secret Wars Battle World, Secret Wars Master of Kung Fu, Secret Wars Journal, Ghost Racers, Thors, Age of Ultron vs. Marvel Zombies, Star-Lord and Kitty Pride, Marvel Zombies, Runaways... Secret Wars 2099, Deadpool Secret Wars, Where Monsters Dwell, MODOK Assassin, Inferno, Spider-Verse, Planet Hulk, Old Man Logan, Infinity Gauntlet,
20.
Korvac Saga, Extinction Agenda, Civil War, Years of Future Past, Armor Wars, House of M, Age of Apocalypse, Future Imperfect, Renew Your Vows, AVX, X-Men 92,
30.
Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man Point, that might be Amazing Spider-Verse,
yeah.
I don't know. Silk, Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, Rocket Raccoon, Silver Surfer, Guardians Team-Up, Ms. Marvel, Howard the Duck, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, Daredevil,
40.
S.H.I.E.L.D., Angela, Deathlok, Ant-Man, Punisher, Black Widow, Moon Knight, Loki, Mighty Avengers, Bucky Barnes, Magneto, and then, yeah.
Dude, that's like
40
60
plus.
That's 60.
That's
50, at least.
Right there.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
50, at least
like,
60.
And there's still stuff coming.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, not all of those are brand new books. I think around the 30 mark is when you started
naming off the monthlies.
Yeah, currently coming out. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of Marvel comics being fucking produced starting in April.
Yeah, a lot of shit.
Which is cool. I mean, it's a good time to be a Marvel fan because if there's a good problem to have, it's I have too many comics to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... I think the good thing is, I think what they're doing now, it kind of like releasing what's coming out and saying who's writing it, giving a kind of brief synopsis of what it is really good because it allows you to say, okay, I don't have to read all of this. At least in my mind, I don't have to read all of this. I can pick and choose what I want, you know, and say, okay, well, I want to follow Weird World because it's about Conan the fucking Barbarian, kind of.
Yeah.
Or I want to follow Ghost Racers because it's about the Ghost Riders in, you know, Gladiator times or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the book with Gladiator.
Yeah, I mean, they're
Captain
really
America
making sure they go out of their way
to
get something for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, this doesn't excite you? Maybe this will.
Or you've got Thor Police.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds fucking awesome.
The Thor Corps.
Is Jason Aaron writing that?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm fine. I don't know. Either way, it's a lot of shit. And and crossovers with this amount of crossover are always very... I get very leery of it. Because it's all being promoted, despite, you know, the idea that, you know, oh, it's not necessary. Marvel's still promoting it as important. And
yeah.
Things like that, and so
well,
it's,
they're never gonna say you don't read these books,
right?
I think with Secret Wars, you could probably follow the age-old example of whoever's writing the main series, read his shit, and that'll probably be all you need.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, Hickman's just writing Secret Wars; he's not writing anything else.
From what I understand, Avengers and New Avengers are kind of going on hiatus for.
And
Secret
then
Wars.
All he'll be doing
Secret
is Secret Wars, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, which I think you can pretty much do that.
I think Secret Wars, hopefully.
Crossover.
Some more than others.
Well, I mean, like you said, stick to books that are being written by...
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you follow that, yeah. But, like, if you... Like, Infinity, you couldn't read Infinity's 6 issues and get everything out of it.
No, absolutely not. Same thing with, at least the very beginning of Secret Invasion. Like,
yeah.
The way they were tying into Avengers.
Yeah, you needed to read
Avengers.
Bendis' Avengers books to really understand all
of
that.
Which, at least the first
because that was
that
the truth about Secret Invasion, there were 8 issues of Secret Invasion, but there were 16 issues of Avengers that Bendis wrote that basically told you everything you needed to know about the series, so
yeah.
I felt that those were essential as well. So, either way, Secret Wars is here to stay. Thankfully, if you're a DC fan, Convergence is gone after 2 months. Not so much with Secret Wars. I think this is going to be the kind of thing that you have to look... If you're a Marvel fan... This is basically your life until the end of the year.
Okay, we talked about the books after Convergence. Did they announce or did they release like synopses of these titles?
No, that'll be in the June. That'll be in the June solicitations,
yeah. And
which will probably come later this month.
Okay, all right, because these books are coming out in June, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what'll happen is we'll get the June solicitations this month, and then retailers can start ordering them. I think beginning of April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So because that's the way DCBS worked is
we'll get the books at the beginning of next month, the first Wednesday of April.
Yeah.
We should get the new previous books in.
So, yeah. Basically, within the next month, we're going to be having
getting
DC
an idea of what DC
what
is.
What this is.
But except, the DC books are the ongoings. That's what DC Comics is. This is, most of this is going to be temporary.
Well, yeah. They've been...
The thing that I think is getting lost with some of these, it's like we mentioned, it's that these are very clearly being picked up from plot threads in ongoing books, and they're being folded into Secret Wars books because that's going to bump the sales up.
Yeah.
And so with a lot of these books, it's not so much that they're ending or anything like that. It's more that most of the books are continuing, but they're getting rebranded because it'll bump the sales up.
Well, there's going to
like you said, Guardians 3000 becoming Korvac Saga, and Legendary Star-Lord becoming Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde,
yeah.
And Thor becoming Thor-Core, and all that stuff. It's a lot of that, I think, is just writers going to be just continuing on, but their idea, it's going to be like Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
All the X-Men books were canceled, and they launched new ones in their place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything's kind of getting its own little rejig for this, and so a lot of them are probably going to revert back afterwards.
Yeah.
Possibly with new number ones, because
that's what Marvel loves to do.
Yeah, sales bump. The cheap sales bump is better than the long-term sales bump, but so yeah, we'll see, but for the DC stuff, I don't think it's quite as similar. Because well, one, we already know the creative teams of all the DC books. We know what those people are. The only
but
things
we don't know
be,
what they're writing about technically.
Some of them more than others. We've gotten a little bit of a snippet of it, but you're right. I mean, yeah. For generally speaking, we don't have a great idea, but we'll get a seed of it in there in the solicitations. But
and what I was going to say is that I think Marvel's doing a good job of pointing out which one of these titles are going to be miniseries, and which one of these are going to be lasting a little bit longer.
Well, like, Marvel Zombies vs. Age of Ultron is still apparently an ongoing.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, if the book stands to be popular, it's just like Deadpool. There's always a fucking Deadpool book out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I forgot who said it at Marvel, but it's like, the reason we're publishing Deadpool books isn't because we just want Deadpool out there. It's because people are buying them.
Yeah.
If people weren't buying
Deadpool, until the point where nobody was buying them.
Well, but, I mean, they're still buying them. That's what I'm saying. Deadpool is still popular.
Deadpool used to have four ongoing series.
Yeah.
People aren't buying as much Deadpool.
Yeah, no, now he just gets miniseries.
And the one ongoing.
People buy those more than they buy the movie.
Well, yeah. Well, that was my problem. Like, there was a point where there
was...
Well,
I'm not saying
Deadpool,
that lasted forever.
Deadpool, Merc with a Mouth, Deadpool Core, and I think even one more.
Deadpool Team Up.
Deadpool Team Up. That were all running at the same time.
Yeah.
Ongoing.
Yeah.
And then now it's just Deadpool in a miniseries. There's
spoiler
never alert. Usually
about them all.
You idiot.
That's not a spoiler.
Right.
It's like no shit alert. Dusty bought everything.
Colin Bunn's been doing his Deadpool miniseries, and then Duggan and Pusain are still doing it.
They've got their ongoing.
They're ongoing.
Yeah.
And so they've curved Deadpool back a lot. Same with Wolverine. There used to be like three or four.
They put him in Thunderbolts too. You know,
I think what I'm saying, or what Marvel was saying, is that if a character is fucking popular as shit, they're going to put out a bunch of Deadpool books. And if popularity drops off, they're going to reel it back in.
It's like DC with Green Lantern.
And it's like, I mean, there were zombies books everywhere, not just in Marvel. I mean, there was Image had stuff, DC had stuff, Marvel had stuff. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of zombies books out there.
Yeah.
Then the zombie craze kind of died down with the exception of Walking Dead. You know,
well,
so
Marvel had the Marvel Zombies, and that Kirkman, no less, did Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
And then he had The Walking Dead, and then DC did Blackest Night, which really wasn't
zombies
per se.
It kind of
and it was only and it was still only a limited thing.
Yeah.
That was the thing about Blackest Night. DC, by and large, hasn't jumped onto the zombie craze. Like, I guess G.I. Zombie, if we're being technical, but nobody read that.
Well,
being a zombie book didn't help it.
You're also talking about Vertigo. I mean, iZombie was a book that was around.
It was.
Then. And I'm pretty sure there
but
was.
But again, that was kind of a very different, specifically different take on the
zombie
genre.
Well, I mean, so was Marvel Zombies, technically. It's like the superheroes became zombies, and then not all of them are...
Well, that is zombies. That's... But with iZombie, it was somebody who gets turned into a zombie but doesn't want to be a zombie.
Yeah.
So it was a very kind of specifically different look at it. He does. And so we have wrapped up our news segment, I think.
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have an interview with David Furr and Isaiah Broussard, who are going to be talking about their new Kickstarter for a book called Help Wanted, that by the end of that interview, you are hopefully going to want to buy, because it pretty much has the greatest character in the history of comics in it. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to let you hear it.
Yeah.
But it's quite possibly the greatest character in the history of comic books is debuting in this series. And I'm not even exaggerating when I say that. This guy's going to make Howard the Duck look like shit.
Howard the Duck's going to look like a pile of puke.
He's going to look like Thanksgiving by the end of this.
Oh, shit.
And so... But we're going to talk with them. We talk about the Kickstarter they're doing. We talk about the stuff they've done, the stuff they might be doing. We talk about the weather. We talk about some other shit, too. So stay picked for that. Stay tuned for that. And then when we come back from the interview, we'll have our picks of the week. And then we'll wrap things up. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll be back. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to God Hates Comics, the only podcast in existence about the comics that God hates, which is all of them. I want to thank our guests for joining us. With us, we have David Furr and Isaiah Broussard. Isaiah, we've had on the show before. Go ahead and say hello, guys.
How's it going?
Hello.
It's going good. It's going all right.
I'm doing well.
Outside the fact that it was 50 yesterday, then it's 80 today, I'm really good.
Yeah.
We can keep it at 80. It's
gonna be like 80 tomorrow, and then like 30 tomorrow night. So
that's terrible.
Hey, it's cold. It's like...
I prefer consistency. Like, yeah. If you're going to be cold, be fucking
cold. If you're going to be warm, be fucking warm.
Yeah, I want to be dressed in the morning for how I need to be dressed in the evening.
Yeah, well, we live exactly. In Houston, man. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Until summer arrives, then it's just hot all the time.
Pretty much. But there's various degrees of hot, obviously. That's a pun. But it's like... 100 degree summer versus like a 90 degree summer is like a huge difference.
Yes.
I feel like we should be recording this. This is good stuff.
All right.
It's about the conversation, not the comics.
So we have had Isaiah on the show before, so he is very thankfully gracing us with his presence again. And we have David Furr, a writer on his new project, with us as well. So we mentioned y'all's Kickstarter last week in our episode, kind of hyping up this interview that we were doing. David, why don't you go ahead and tell us what it is that this Kickstarter is all about exactly?
Yeah, man, give us the pitch. Let us know why you kickstarted.
So the title is called Help Wanted, and essentially what it's about a dog named Cuff Puppy who's on a crusade to fight disorganized crime with his sidekick, Boneless Bread, a sentient loaf of bread.
He's
going for disorganized crime because, you know, all the good superheroes have the organized crime thing covered, so... He's just kind of hitting that niche market there.
What was your question?
We got to go back. What was the name of the bread?
Boneless Bread.
Boneless Bread?
Boneless Bread, yeah.
That's awesome.
So this is a awesome book that is quite literally about a sentient dog and a sentient loaf of bread.
Yes.
Absolutely,
it's a book
yes.
That's supposed to make you say, what the heck did I just read? And if it does that... We have succeeded with our task.
This is almost as awesome as the three different groups of Ninja Turtle lucha wrestlers in Mexico.
sounds like an apt comparison.
But so do I dare ask where you got this idea from or how it came to you?
That's a risky question to ask. I've had it a long time. To be honest, I just like really random, weird stuff. And I just... You know, when I was a kid, I just kind of came up with the characters just really just out of nowhere. I've kind of held on to them for a long time, but I haven't really found a artistic person that had the right skill set, I think, to make them come to life until I met Isaiah. So when he approached me about doing some work, I'm like, oh, man, I've got to dig this out of the closet and do this project again.
So that was absolutely so Isaiah's art style really kind of felt like to you that he could bring this project to life.
Yes.
In a way.
And I saw the work he did on Transyltown, which is a little more mainstream than Help Wanted was in the past, but I still thought it was a really good fit.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Isaiah's art style. Don't tell him though.
Yeah. I
heard nothing.
Question about the bread. Is the loaf pre-sliced? Because I'm looking at the art, and it looks like it's pre-sliced.
It is, but it's not. It's like it's still kind of congealed together.
Interesting.
Vincent's loaf of bread. That is the most interesting part of this to Vince. Oh, he's going to buy this just to read about this loaf of bread.
Dude, the bread has shoes.
Well, you know, boneless bread is really part of this, what makes that project come to life.
The bread has shoes. I think that's going to be the title of this week's episode. So
boneless is by far my favorite to draw.
It sounds like it's something that just is really, really fun. And in an age where comics are every single week reminding me how dark and super serious everything is, it's nice to see something out there that looks like it's not quite taking itself as seriously. Not to say it's not serious, but from the outside looking in...
Well, if it's taking itself seriously, then we have a problem.
Yes. Although, I'll be honest, I'll wait for in about 10 years when somebody makes the gritty, hard-boiled version where this loaf of bread is taking nobody's shit.
It's ciabatta bread now.
Ciabatta bread. I like that better.
Ciabatta bread's tough.
Or sourdough, maybe. Sourdough. Sourdough, by definition, is tough. But no, so Isaiah, what about this project spoke to you, or was it simply the utter insanity of it?
It was the insanity, man. I thought, when I was told about the dog who fights with handcuffed karate, I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. But then I saw boneless bread, and I was just like, I'm in.
And that's kind of how Vince sounds right now. Now that he knows about boneless bread, he's like, all right, backing this right now.
Well, I like that. It's like, well, we've got a dog that fights karate. I don't know. Boneless bread? Fuck yeah. Sign me up.
It's like that old like cop dog from when we were kids teaming up with a loaf of bread, and that is pretty much...
Is the cop dog Scruff McGruff?
I think so, yeah. Was that his name?
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
6652?
Yeah.
What the fuck, guys? That was a long time ago.
Dude, it's deeply ingrained.
Seriously, I don't even know why they used to show that commercial, because it was obviously geared towards people from Chicago. Chicagoans? Is that how you say?
Chicagoites.
Chicagoans.
Chicagoans. I don't know.
Chicagoans. I like
Chicagoans.
That. But, you know, obviously we heard it.
And... Yeah, I saw it all the time.
For the record, I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. To explain a little bit for our viewers and for David, when we were kids, so this is going back a while because we're old, but there was, like, similar to, like, Smokey the Bear, there was a dog, like, he was, like, an anthropomorphic dog, like, he stood up.
He was Scruff the Crime Dog.
He was a dog that was a cop, basically. And
oh, wait, no, okay, I do remember that character.
Yeah, okay. Remember, he had the trench coat and, the big floppy hat. He would come on and he'd say, like... Only you.
I agree. He always was kind of creepy. What was he even? Was it just crime or was it drugs or what?
It's probably a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think. It was the 80s, early 90s. So, like, you know, the say no to drugs thing was really big then. So I think
it's tough to kind of nail down his overall message. I mean, with Smokey the Bear, it was a very direct, only you can prevent forest fires. That was like direct. You, if there's a forest fire, it's your fault, literally.
I actually, I'm not going to say his name because this has something that, I mean, like, I'm not sure if it was ever solved by the cops, but I know someone that started a forest fire. Complete accident. They were just dicking around.
Yeah, I'm going to edit that out of this episode.
The FBI will come be contacting you soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, now the NSA is on to me, man. But anyway,
we are on the internet,
sort of. So yeah, all of this, man, you've just doomed us all. We are all in trouble now, and the trouble is spelled Vince. But anyway, back to the point, mildly. Isaiah, what kind of drew you? So did you guys know each other before this project at all, or was this project kind of how it all came together?
You gotta finish that thought. What kind of drew you to draw this comic?
Come on.
You should have said that.
No. All
right.
It wasn't where I was going with it. I was gonna say what drew you to working with David.
All right.
But then I decided I'd ask them both at the same time. As you can see, this is very well thought out, and we have planned this down to a T. But anyway.
It's kind of funny how I met Isaiah, but I'll let him tell the story because it's probably funnier from his perspective.
Oh yes. So I had a friend who I knew was working on making a comic with David. I didn't know David at that point. But I was at a convention sharing a table with Emily Rose Romano. She's a terrific artist. You guys should look her up sometime. And we saw someone running around with our friend Tony Shelton's print. And she was not there at the show at all. So we were like, did this person buy this print here? So we asked them where they got it from, and they were like, these dudes over at the table around the corner are selling it. And we're like, someone like selling Tony's art?
You were like, it's on, motherfucker. So basically,
yeah, I went over to David's table to check out what was going on. And, you know, he explained that he was working on a project with her. And I was like, oh, yeah, like she mentioned that. After a while, I started wanting to do other comics. And Tony had suggested, you know, hooking up with David and seeing if he had anything to do. And so at Comic Palooza last year, I went and talked to him and handed him an issue of Transletown. And then he came back and showed me Help Wanted.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah.
It is.
Right.
It is.
So this has kind of been gestating for a while now. Like, David, you mentioned having this idea for a very long time. But so you guys have been talking about... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I've been working with my business partner, Shannon Smith, for the last few years on some more serious projects. We just kickstarted last year a project called Frontier Graveyard, which is a horror Western. And we were working on this last year, we also worked on a mobster Western, mobster horror story as well. So we're doing this really serious, kind of gritty stuff. And I'm really enjoying that. But I was, you know, really wanting to do something a little different. And like I said, when I saw Isaiah, I didn't know if Isaiah was interested at first in like doing something like Frontier Graveyard. But I'm like, I'm thinking, yeah, definitely a different direction. I saw a new opportunity there.
Awesome. Well, this one definitely seems different. So you're both coming off of fairly successful Kickstarters. I mean, Isaiah, you kickstarted the Transletown Volume 1. And David, you just mentioned that you're coming off of two successful Kickstarters as well. How is Help Wanted doing so far? Has it passed its goal? I'm sure it
is. Not yet. We're about 75% with just a little over 2 weeks.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, I think you got Vince's money for sure.
Definitely.
And you've got mine, so we'll hopefully get some more word out about this. But
I would just encourage people to watch the Kickstarter video. We've got a lot of really good endorsements on there, and I think they'll get them excited about the project.
If boneless bread doesn't get them excited about the project, I really don't know what can.
He's boneless bread. I mean, come
he
on.
He is.
He's got shoes.
And you know what? He's kind of anchor of the book, too.
It's kind of like Yoshi is a dinosaur with sneakers, but way better, because this is a loaf of bread that literally is wearing sneakers. And that is pretty much the greatest idea ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like when they used to make stuffed insects that had sneakers on. I always thought it was weird. I'm like, why do they need those?
Why do you need those sneakers?
Yo, don't you have...
Doesn't that make it harder to climb on walls?
I would think so, unless he's going to play basketball, in which case, good for him, I guess. But
I would even think it would be harder to play basketball for them because they're used to the tactile feel of little insect legs on wood. Right.
I go on weird-ass tangents. I started talking about bugs wearing sneakers. What the hell's the matter with me?
Man, it's cool, dude. It's what happens. Anyway, they've got the little, like, pincer things on their arms so they can, like, hook on shit. Like,
yeah.
That's when they climb up walls and crap.
But that's not going to help you dunk.
That's how you hook onto the basketball. You hold on to it.
But this is a different conversation.
That's traveling, man.
Now we'll talk about
I mean, you're right. That is traveling. But how do you steal a ball better by just... grabbing it.
The problem with most bugs is that they're going to latch onto that ball, and the ball is going to be like 8 times the size of them. So
that's even better. That's even better.
Mental note, Isaiah, we've got to put this conversation in an upcoming issue of Help Wanted. I think that's very appropriate.
Yeah, I think we need a basketball playing roach.
Yeah.
Whoa, man. We said insect. We didn't say roach. Spider.
Well, I'm sorry. You got a problem with roaches?
Dumbass. They're not. Spiders have 8 legs. Insects have 6.
All right, well, I have 6 legs. That's not a roach.
An ant.
Ant.
A fly.
Oh, dude, an ant. Be an ant. Ant. Basketball ant. Basket. Bant.
Basket bant?
No.
Yeah, come on.
You tried, Vince. I'll give you that. Anyway.
Maybe a jalapeno. I don't know.
You say jalapeno?
We give you guys... Jalapeno. total permission to include this in a Help Wanted issue.
Absolutely.
Because we aren't going to do anything with this conversation.
Okay, copyright. Camping on there.
I can't draw, so neither can any of us. So I would rather they run with it than it languish in our minds doing nothing.
I envision it as a team of ants that get together, like a colony that form a man of ants.
Man of ants.
Not an ant man, but a man of ants. You know, not to just to avoid like trademark and copyright.
You know, like in the Little Rascals, when the little kids all hide in the coat to look like a dude. It's all the ants building themselves up so they can play basketball.
Yeah. Oh,
what's next? Are they going to travel to another planet and steal Michael Jordan's talents?
So you're saying it's like Voltron of the insect world?
Basically.
He should also have a really hot girlfriend, but like a regular, like a human girlfriend, because she can't tell that it's a man of ants.
All right, you're losing it, Vince.
Dude, come on. This is money. I'm printing
it. We'll let them figure out the details there.
That just got really creepy.
It really did.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, they even thought it was creepy, man, so
no way. You
really went too far.
All right. I'm not going to say you guys lack vision, because obviously boneless bread, but...
This is the weirdest interview I think we've ever done. And we interviewed Ulysses Farinas 2 weeks ago.
For real.
And that one was weird as hell. But anyway, so Help Wanted, is this the Kickstarter? Is that for the first issue for a series, or?
It's for the first issue. If it's successful, we want to take it into a webcomic. We haven't really got into specific details, but I am writing more stories now. But this particular Kickstarter is just for the first issue.
First issue, fantastic. And so
we've got a lot of prints from Isaiah's we're using as incentives, and Isaiah's doing a lot of original art as incentives as well. So it's got a very Isaiah-centric theme in the Kickstarter.
Isaiah-centric theme, as most things in life should have.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with that.
You would, Isaiah.
We'll plug Help Wanted. We'll naturally put the links for the Kickstarter, all of that stuff, up in the description of this so that people can go check that out. And we'll actually post a direct link to the project on our Facebook page so that people can go and directly give you guys money instead of whatever.
Indirectly.
That's always preferred.
Mail all money to God Hates Comics.
And then we'll send it
to them.
You'll decide how much you keep and how much you pour it on.
We take a 10% finder's fee.
10% if you're lucky.
So David, you mentioned Help Wanted, but you mentioned you had some other projects coming down. Would you mind expanding on those, or perhaps telling us how we might be able to check those out?
Sure. So, like I said, the first one we did last year was called Frontier Graveyard. That Kickstarter was successful. We have print copies that are in some of the comic book stores here in Houston. It's an 80-page graphic novel, but if you want to buy it online, we are on Comixology. Right now, you get the entire graphic novel on Comixology, but we're going to be selling individual issues on Comixology as well.
Okay, so right now it's the full 80 pages, but that'll split
pages.
Up.
It's effectively three issues as one book.
Okay.
And we have just gotten issue 4. We got the pencils on it. We're working on inks now, and so that will also go up on Comixology once it's got colored.
Fantastic. And you mentioned the other one was the Mobster story. Is that one available?
Mobster Graveyard.
Worked on.
Sorry, say again?
Is that still being worked on, or is that available?
Well, it is. We have the first issue ready. That Kickstarter was actually not successful, so we're going to be pushing it to Comixology soon.
Okay.
So I'd just say it's coming out this year. As far as exact details, I don't have them now. But if you keep up with the Frontier Graveyard stuff, we will be talking about Mobster. They're actually interlinked as part of the same franchise.
Shared universe?
Yes, it's basically Mobsters is basically 60 years later, so it's kind of like two generations later.
Everyone's getting in on this shared universe action.
Hell yeah. You gotta have the boneless bread universe.
Yeah, we want the boneless bread universe next.
All things bread.
Everybody has a bread sidekick.
Bread-iverse.
The bread-iverse.
That will be the first official spinoff. It's just boneless bread in its own title.
Exactly. And Vince will buy like 80 copies of it.
Well, I'll do that today then.
I need one every time I read through it and tear it apart. I need another one for this.
As long as they get money, they don't care how they get it. Right?
Exactly.
Right?
Well, pretty much. much. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they'd like it if you actually enjoyed it in the process.
Well, I'm sure.
Okay. And anything else coming up for you, or is Help Wanted the next big push for you?
For me, that's the next big push. Like I said, and we'll be doing the fourth issue of Frontier Graveyard. Will be coming out probably in a couple of months.
And that'll be available on Comixology as well. And
yes,
we'll see if we can include some links to that as well so that people can check that out. Now, Isaiah.
Yeah.
Sweet Isaiah. What is it you've been up to? I know that you mentioned this project with us the last time you were with us. You mentioned that you were working on a project. You didn't mention what it was, because if you had, Vince would have lost his mind then. but you mentioned you were working with David Furr on a project, and so naturally this is that project, I assume, unless there's another mystery project coming.
I mean, there are more mystery projects, but as far as with David Furr, that's what I was mentioning. But I'm also working on something with Matt Gordon of Musings.
Ah, Matt Gordon. He has that magnificent beard.
Yes, yes. he's you two must get into a beard duel with one another.
His beard can't handle mine. That's the truth.
I don't know. It's pretty glorious.
Andrew's beard.
My beard has a lot more rage. That's what Vince just said. So my gingerness is more intensified than his. So it's really the scales are in my favor.
That might be true. Yeah, yeah. It does balance out the scales at least.
Does balance it out. And I mean, he may have a lower center of gravity, but I have superior reach. So, if this is really a fight, the edge goes to me.
Yeah, but the lower center of gravity means that he can just headbutt you.
Oh man, I'm screwed.
There you go.
This is another great conversation that he's probably never going to hear about. So. Now Isaiah's going to tell him and be like, man, that dude on God Hates Comics is calling you out.
I'm gonna make sure he's here with me next time.
All right. Well, are you guys? So the project you're working on with him, is that coming soon? Is that going to be another Kickstarter or?
He's working on an anthology right now of short stories with various artists, and we've been talking for a while about doing a webcomic together called Fight School High School, which is about a student at a school for fighting, and he has no fighting talent whatsoever. And so we're starting that off with the 8-pager for his anthology, but then after that, we're gonna start doing it as a webcomic pretty soon.
Cool. So it's Fight School, but I assume at this Fight School we're allowed to talk about Fight School.
Yeah.
Okay. Fight Club.
Well, I was making sure there might be a Fight Club at the Fight School. I don't know. that's
every club is a Fight Club at the Fight School.
Even Chess Club.
Chess Club.
Yes, it's battle chess.
Battle chess. I love it.
Excuse me. I just like that me and Isaiah at the same time are both like battle chess.
Yes.
But no, so you've got the project with Matt Gordon, and naturally, Transletown, is it on hiatus? Is it still going?
It's still going. I had to put it on hold for a while to finish up Help Wanted, but it's back and rolling again. And I'm actually going to be launching the Kickstarter for Volume 2 shortly after we've run the course with the Help Wanted one.
Fantastic. So plenty of chances to spend your money on Isaiah's work. And you should, because it's good. And David's is good, too. I'm going to go ahead and say that his work is worth supporting. Because I think that Boneless Bread is...
Boneless Bread deserves the chance.
It does.
It does. Boneless Bread 2016.
Vince is taking this deal.
We'll do a special election year issue.
An election year issue, yes. And again, Vince will buy like 80 copies.
80 copies.
Vince is going to give it out for free as election literature to potential voters.
The polls. Boneless Bread 2016.
He's going to make shirts.
Forget that Clinton cat, maybe. Or
forget... the old white guy.
Yeah, forget the old white guy.
vote for the bread instead.
Dude, vote for the bread instead.
Hey, I just...
I like that.
I made a rhyme. I didn't even plan on it. Vince is going to make
our
boneless bread
buttons,
thing.
David.
Like, if it's the last thing Vince does, he's going to make boneless bread thing. but no, we have been talking for a while now, so we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. But... we will plug it again. Help Wanted is on Kickstarter. They are 3/4 of the way there. Do you guys know what the price point is to get a physical copy of the book?
We are for $20. You get some prints from Isaiah and a copy of the book physical. If you just want a digital copy, you can get one for $5.
A digital copy for $5?
Yes.
That.
So the $20 is not just for the comic; you also are getting art with it as well.
That's awesome. Because most places, I spend like $50 and I get the comic.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that this thing is making it a value as well.
Trying to.
Isaiah's art is worth so much more than that. That was a shame.
Thank you. I appreciated that though.
But that's cool.
Talk like that more.
Talk like that more. Marty, I'm on your side with like 95% of the things you say, man. Just like that really, really bad Power Rangers movie.
Yeah, my God. Oh.
God.
Are we going to do this again?
I'm sure you've already talked about this in an episode, so I spent
genuinely like 30 minutes last week just talking about how bad it was. Yeah. I did not let that one go.
Thank you.
I had many, 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 many thoughts about that. And I still do. But I am very entertained that the producer tried to rip off James Bond and MGM was like, no. Not happening. You're not pulling that Power Rangers shit with us.
It didn't come out.
Have you seen the video where he talks about the Power Rangers video?
Yeah, he sounds crazy.
Yeah, he sounds like a total ass.
He sounds like a kid that got a budget and was like, I'm going to make the coolest movie I can, and didn't realize his coolest movie was dumb as hell.
As most kids are wont to do.
Mostly, yeah. I mean, I'll admit, as a kid, I wouldn't have trusted myself to do anything.
12-year-old Andrew's movie, a.k.a. boobies.
Pretty much. That is essentially what it would have boiled down to. But no, we'll save the Power Rangers talk for another day. Yeah. But Help Wanted is on Kickstarter. There are very clearly great rewards where you can get prints from Isaiah. There are higher rewards where you can get original art? Sketches?
Yes.
Something? All right, yes. And fantastic stuff, really, to check out. And honestly, just it can't be mentioned enough. Boneless bread is pretty much the greatest invention of the 21st century.
Boneless bread, 2016.
I'm very entertained by the notion of a loaf of bread wearing sneakers. That's the thing that's really...
legit, if a hot dog can make it to primaries, boneless bread can make it to the final election.
If potato salad can get funded on Kickstarter, boneless bread deserves just as much of a chance.
Yes.
If not more, honestly. Because with boneless bread, I'm getting a loaf of bread with sneakers. With potato salad, I'm getting nothing.
You're getting potato salad.
No, I'm not. That guy.
Well, someone else is getting potato salad.
Exactly. That guy gets potato salad. I get nothing.
Guess what I kickstarted?
You kickstarted the potato salad, you stupid ass.
Hey, man. When I saw it, I was like, this guy deserves my money just for doing it.
No, he doesn't!
That was my reasoning. I didn't realize that, like, 50,000 people are going to agree.
I know everybody's entitled to their opinion, Vince, but on that one, you were wrong.
My money, I work for. You start paying my bills, you can tell me how to spend my money. Boom.
You spend your money on Lego, man!
What do you do? So? I love Lego.
Clearly, God Hates Comics has a very, very strong relationship between its hosts that is not at all on the verge of disintegrating and falling apart. But anyway, I want to thank you guys again for joining us. We naturally would love to have you guys back in the future. As naturally as you guys get other projects going, as you guys release new issues, things like that, just reach out to us on God Hates Comics, and we'd be glad to have you guys back.
Will do.
Glad to be here again.
It's good to have you guys here. And like I said, we'll plug all the Kickstarter and everything. We'll make sure that we can get you guys some extra attention, hopefully. And hopefully we'll see you guys again soon. Hear you guys again soon.
Hear you again soon, too.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace.
All right. I certainly hope you enjoyed that interview with Isaiah Broussard and David Furr, and I really certainly hope you guys are as excited for Boneless Bread.
Boneless Bread!
Boneless Bread 2016.
Boneless Bread!
Boneless Bread 2016.
Boneless Bread!
Okay.
Boneless Bread?
Boneless fucking bread.
I'm not gonna lie, I asked him to repeat it twice because at first I thought he said homeless bread, which also would have been awesome, but boneless. Boneless Bread! is pretty cool too. Obviously.
What's his name again?
Boneless Bread!
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Alright, guys. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up this week with our picks of the week. Dusty, you go first this time.
Yay.
Someone give me the list.
Someone fucking tell me what I'm buying.
Okay. Hey, Andrew actually has more than me.
I do.
But I'm buying almost everything that Andrew's buying, so that works. Black Science, number 12. Remender and Scalero. This guy's the fucking rule. Descender, number 1, from Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen. Everything these guys put out is fucking fantastic. Them working together is like fucking dream come true. God Hates Comics, number 6. This is obviously where we get our moniker from.
God Hates Astronauts. Did I write comics?
Yeah, you wrote comics. It's God Hates Astronauts, number 6, is coming out. Obviously where we get our moniker from. From Ryan Brown, this fucking comic is just off the wall. It's fucking insane.
It's not Boneless Bread insane, but it's pretty insane.
Boneless Bread!
I don't know. It might be Boneless Bread insane.
Boneless Bread!
Maybe you can stop.
My fucking throat's starting.
Thank God. and then Iron Fist, number 10. So I will keep my list short and simple.
All right. I'll go next. No, Vince, you go next.
All right, man. I've got some comics. Princess Leia, number 1. It's by Mark Waid and Terry Dodson. It's probably the team of Terry and Rachel Dodson.
Yes. I don't think it's ever not Rachel Dodson.
Yeah. Darth Vader, number 1 and 2. Badass. Star Wars, number 1 and 2. Badass. Mark Waid, badass. Dodson. Yeah, okay. I like Dodson, but not badass. So I'm hoping that Princess Leia, number 1, is going to be also
She's going to look pretty, that's for sure.
She will look pretty. I just, you know what, I always think the inking on those books are just, they're a little thin.
Terry Dodson looks a little, he always looks a little, he's like Frank Cho, it always looks kind of, it's got some cheese in it.
Yeah.
Which isn't a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's comics, it's kind of like Adam Hughes is like that, but it doesn't mean they're bad, but they just, they draw certain things very well, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles the rest of the universe.
Yeah.
Like, I have no doubt that Princess Leia is going to look great, but we'll see how the hand rests.
Yeah, we've seen the cover of number 1. That looks good. Swamp Thing number 40, which is the final issue, not only for Soul, but for the series itself.
This is Soul's last DC work.
Yeah, this is Soul's last DC book. So it's got Swamp Thing and Abigail Arcane versus, I don't know, Uncle Arcade? And the Machine Queen. So this book has been really awesome, and I'm really excited to see how it ends. And then I've got RoboCop number 9 because fucking RoboCop, man. Just go read it.
Andrew. Because fucking RoboCop, man.
He's fucking RoboCop.
All right, first off, I've got.
I mean, he's no Boneless Bread.
But Boneless Bread. Had to get my chance in there.
There you go.
But no, I'll go a little out of order in my list here. First off, is going to be Supreme Blue Rose number 7. This is the conclusion now to Warren Ellis and Tula Lotay's really, really strange take on the Supreme Universe with Darius Dax and all that. It's been a trippy-ass ride, and this is the end, but I'm definitely going to finish out this wacky run, and maybe once I've read it all and processed it, I'll tell you guys a little bit more about it. But it's been very Morrison-esque in how wacky it is. It's like if Morrison and Moore had their lightsaber wizard battle, and it somehow involved Supreme, this is what it would be like.
Sweet.
And then we got Saga 26. I mean,
it's Saga.
It's Saga.
It's Saga. Yeah.
It's going to be great. We've got Nameless number 2. We all read Nameless number 1 last month, and it was wacky and tripped out as fuck.
And it was awesome.
It was awesome. It's about it's Morrison being Morrison, essentially.
Yeah.
And I'm down for number 2, so hopefully for that, it'll be back soon. And it'll keep going, and hopefully Morrison starts doing some more stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm excited. Then we've got Hawkeye number 1, before Hawkeye 22. This is Jeff Lemire's Archer switch, you know, jumping from Green Arrow to Hawkeye.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to it, because I love Jeff Lemire, and I'm kind of sad to see him out of DC, but... if he's going to be picking up Hawkeye and some other stuff, it should be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how long until he does Alpha Flight.
that'd be awesome.
It would. But it's going to be him. Is it Raymond Perez, I think, that's doing the art on this?
I think so.
He did some stuff on Wolverine and the X-Men, and then he's also just, I mean,
a fantastic artist.
Yeah.
So maybe he's a little bit more on time as well, because Aja and Fraction ran into some problems, as evidenced by the fact their last issue is not out before the first of the new one is. This is Captain America Reborn all over again. But it is what it is. And then lastly is Hellboy and the BPRD 1952 number 4. This is the fourth issue of this 1952 series. The idea with these series is everyone will be numbered by a year, and they're just kind of tracing Hellboy's missions with the BPRD by year. And this is his first mission with the BPRD.
Nice.
Cool. And they've also done BPRD series set before he joins. They did BPRD 46, 47, and 48.
Yeah.
And so this is in the 4 years later, Hellboy joins up with them.
Nice.
And this has got art by Alex Maleev, which is pretty much awesome. It's pretty amazing. And speaking of Mike Mignola, he's actually going to be contributing to our friend Fabian's Kickstarter. He's doing a pinup, which is insane. It's absolutely bonkers. But congratulations to them for nailing down.
It's amazing.
A lot of cool shit. But speaking of that, I do want to mention Fabian's Kickstarter. So either way, there's a lot of great comics coming out this week. A lot of cool shit. And then, the big thing for Fabian is that, like I said, he has launched his third Doc Unknown Kickstarter, his fourth overall Kickstarter. But this is the third. He didn't kickstart the first Doc Unknown, I don't think. But he kickstarted Boss Snake Volume 2 and now Volume 3.
Yeah.
Let me check the Kickstarter.
Six,
right.
Six was
the horror one.
Yeah. I have the cover for everything.
You don't have all the covers, man.
No, but I have all the covers available. For the Kickstarters, except for the one that you got.
Exactly.
Because I couldn't pledge $100.
I got it.
You couldn't? Or you wouldn't?
What was the... Yeah. Oh, it's the War for Gate City.
I thought you were a true comics fan.
So right now, their goal is $9,000, and they are at $5,520. With 27 days to go. So they are far past halfway at this point. They only need about $3,500 to meet their goal. And so $30 gets you a physical copy of the book, as well as a print, 10x7, and your name will also be included in the thank you section. I think you can get a digital version for just $10. So $10 gets you 4 issues of content, basically, in a digital format. And there are also rewards that include the other books in the series.
You can get sketches from Ryan
Sketches,
Cody.
Art.
There are still pages available.
So there's a whole lot of cool shit that's available for this. And
there's even some exclusive prints you can get. I know they've got one from Alexis Sorritt, which is Fabian's partner for Space Riders.
Which is starting soon.
Yeah.
Does it start this month?
I believe it does.
I think it does. Doc Unknown, The War for Gate City. Just Google that, and the Kickstarter will probably come up. And, so support both Help Wanted and Doc Unknown on Kickstarter. And I don't know if we have an interview with Lance Shibby, it will have appeared earlier in the show. But I will have recorded it after we recorded the rest of this. Mm-hmm. So if we had that interview with Lance, great. I'm not optimistic we will right now, so that's why I'm going ahead and doing this. If I do, fuck you, past me, for not believing. but if we don't, I want to mention again Lance Shibby's Kickstarter.
For the title.
This is a collection, we mentioned it last week, I think. But it's for the title Champion Wish Edition. They are so close to the final stretch goal.
He needs just $60 more.
He needs $60 more to get to the hardcover. And there are 4 days to go on this. From now, when this posts, there will probably only be 2 days.
Yeah.
So it ends, let's see, Sunday, March 8th at 11:50 a.m. Central.
So they already met their goal, right?
Oh yeah, they're past the $4,000 goal. But if they get to $5,500, it gets upgraded to a hardcover.
Gotcha.
So that would be cool. And so, like I said, they just need $60, and $25 gets you a physical copy of the book. And there are a lot of rewards that are gone, but there are plenty that are still left.
And yeah, they've got a lot of guest pages because each panel. Each page was just a panel of the comic, and so they had a lot of guest artists, and there are still some really cool pages left. A
lot of cool pages. You can get art from Lance Shibby. You can get a lot of guest art. You can get pins. You can get still pissed I missed out on this Macho Ghost.
Yeah.
The Macho Ghost is amazing. I think I'm going to commission her to draw that exact same thing. Just like I'm going to commission Ryan Cody to redraw that Doc Unknown cover I missed out on. A lot of cool stuff there. So there's a lot of great Kickstarters out there. Are there any others we want to mention? Ben Temple Smith is going strong. He doesn't need our money, though.
No.
I was just looking at that one earlier.
Like 60,000 over his gold.
God, he's like 100,000 over his gold. Dagon by Ben Temple Smith is at 116,000 of his $14,000 gold. So there's a lot of cool stuff out there. But we'll include links to those in the description if you're interested in checking those out. But I want to thank David Furr and Isaiah Broussard again for joining us and talking
Thanks,
about Help Wanted.
Yeah. Really enjoyed the interview.
And hopefully we'll get Fabian and Ryan on the horn soon to talk about this and what those guys might have planned for the future. And maybe we can get them to divulge whether or not this really is the end for Doc Unknown.
I hope so.
We'll see. But anyway, guys, I want to thank you again for joining us. And as always, we will be with you next week. And for God Hates Comics, I am Andrew, as always.
I'm Dusty, because I feel like it.
And I'm... What?
I fucking feel like saying it. That's what I'm saying.
Alright, cool. I'm Vince, because...
Dusty said so.
Because I fucking said so.
Boneless bread!
Boneless bread!
Boneless bread!
I fucking hate this life.